You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl, a community and education platform that empowers parents and caretakers to foster independence, leadership, and strong personal identity in girls so they can change the world. Now, here is the founder and your host, Maria Fuller.
And welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl. I'm the founder and your host, Maria Fuller. Before we get started, let's make sure you know where to find me. You can find more information about our education and community platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Raising a Powerful Girl. Make sure to connect with us on social media to find out our latest news, learn tips and tricks, submit your questions, and continue our enlightening conversations. And now, let's get on with today's show. Our guest today is Sherry West. Sherry has over 20 years of executive finance and leadership development experience. Her education includes a BA in finance and Master's of Human Resources and Leadership Development from Michigan State University. Ms. West spent 15 years as a finance executive at General Electric, where she was actively involved in the GE Women's Network as a mentor. 4 years ago, she founded LiveGirl to pay it forward and prepare the next generation of female leaders. She's married with three children, ages 17, 14, and 11, and lives in New Canaan, Connecticut, where she serves as an elected official on the New Canaan Public School Board of Education. Research shows that girls are twice as depressed, anxious, and stressed out as boys. 7 out of 10 girls feel they're not good enough or don't measure up in some way, no matter how many achievements they rack up. In the so-called age of girl power, girls are still trying to fit a perfect mold of pleasing others and looking sexy. They are striving for unattainable perfection and avoiding risks. LiveGirl has shown Sherry how vulnerable today's girls are as they face adolescent pressures magnified by social media and role overload. LiveGirl's mission is to empower girls through year-round leadership development and mentorship. Their programs build social emotional intelligence and self-esteem, which equip girls to have a positive impact on the world. Specifically, they focus on surrounding their girls with a positive community. They teach girls how to cultivate healthy and positive relationships. They teach them not to compare themselves to others, but rather to embrace their quirky, original selves. LiveGirl also surrounds girls with positive role models. Their professional mentors lead the 10-week after-school mentoring groups, and they feature accomplished female professionals at all of their leadership summits and summer camp. These role models help girls explore what's possible and discover their best selves.
Well, welcome, Sherry. It's so great to have you here today, and I'm really excited about our conversation because we have such similar passions and ideas, and you're doing some really incredible work with your nonprofit organization, Helping Girls. I'd love for you to introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit about you and your past background and what has brought you to found your incredible organization.
Well, great. Thanks for having me, Maria. There's nothing I'd rather talk about than girl power. So this is quite a treat to be able to sit down during the day and really focus on this topic with someone who shares our passion. So my background is I worked for 16, 17 years in corporate finance at a large company called GE. And really, after a lifetime at GE, I founded LiveGirl to pay it forward to the next generation of female leaders. And that was important to me, I think, for a couple of reasons. One is I had three kids, including a daughter who is now in high school. And after kind of looking around both at the corporate world and at her life outside, realizing that a lot of the things that were holding women back in the corporate workforce were in part due to skill set issues that really need to be fortified during those early years, and really seeing a void of that leadership development for girls. So we founded LiveGirl. We've been going for 4 years now, and we provide year-round leadership development and mentoring for girls in Connecticut.
Awesome. I love that. And I love that you have taken your experience in the corporate world and recognize that there was a void or a need or something that we could do better to empower the next generation, which is so similar to my own kind of background in history and why I founded, Raising a Powerful Girl. I know that part of your mission is to help foster social emotional intelligence. Can you talk a little bit about that, what that means and what that looks like?
Sure. So we are focusing on middle and high school girls. And really at that age, when we talk about leadership, we are talking about social emotional intelligence. And what that really is developing at that age, self-awareness, self-confidence, and self-love. And if you really, one thing I want to point out there is all of those words start with the word self, because those are things you cannot find in anyone else. And what happens in those middle school years, in those teen years, is that kids and girls start to replace their parents with peers as their key influencers. And they really start to look to their peers for that acceptance and approval instead of looking to themselves. And so that's what we're really teaching these girls, is that it really needs to start with themselves. And so really during the middle school years, we teach these girls to lead themselves. And then as they transition to high school, we give them opportunities to lead others, to start to put those leadership skills into action by leading others.
I love that, because a lot of people, when you say the word leadership, because leadership is one of the foundations and one of our core values as well, they automatically think that that means having to have all of these people under you and you kind of managing them. And not a lot of people want that, and that's totally okay. But leadership really does begin within oneself, because if you don't have a good, strong personal identity, your, you know, values aligned to what it is important to you as an individual, you cannot lead others. And I think that's so amazing that that's how you're teaching leadership to these girls, that it's about leading your life yourself based on what's right for you as an individual first. And then when you can do that, then you can begin to lead others. And that's amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely. And just to add on to that, that is definitely one of the myths we're trying to dispel with our girls, because, and there's a lot of research around this, but if you ask girls or people in general to either draw or describe a leader, they will draw a man, a male figure, and they will discuss attributes which are traditionally male attributes, which is, you know, it's a CEO, it's someone who is really tough and maybe mean on occasion, and, you know, and really hard on people and can drive things forward. And they won't necessarily describe, you know, someone who's nurturing and collaborative and who has a spirit of teamwork. And so a lot of times when girls are coming through these years in this process, they say, what I see around me as what is traditionally defined as a leader doesn't apply to me, so that's not something I aspire to be. So that is definitely one of the myths we're trying to dispel with our girls.
Yeah, and I love that. You know, myself on my own journey, I had a lot of those same myths in my head on what a leader was and what it needed to look like. And, you know, throughout my own journey of kind of trying to like peel off these layers of these words and these concepts, I realized that a lot of the people that we even see that are these really large leaders, especially if you're looking at thought leaders, many of them felt very different or like outcasts or very individual. And they were people that were able to hone in on their kind of own uniqueness and their own what we would call quirks or differences, or what made them stand out from everyone else. They honored it and they celebrated it, and it allowed them to become those leaders, those people that think differently. And I think that's such an important thing that we need to teach girls, that, you know, when you're able to be true to yourself and know who you are as a person and celebrate the way that you think differently, that's amazing. The world needs so much of that, because it's those individual thoughts and concepts that are going to be able to be factors that help to change the world. And I know you do a lot of work with girls on building up that that concept of personal identity. How do you do that with the girls that you work with?
So one of the most important things we do is to teach our girls to make it a habit to celebrate themselves. And we do this through a number of different positive psychology tactics. And it can be as simple as, you know, coming in and starting every meeting by having them share one thing that they really like or love about themselves, or one thing that they're really proud about themselves today. And this is something, it's a positive psychology habit that we try to ingrain in our girls. And it also includes things like we end every meeting or every event by doing self-affirmations. And in fact, our Live Girl affirmation that all of our girls learn and enchant in unison is, I'm smart, I'm strong, I'm special. But we teach our girls that, you know, confidence is like a muscle and that you need to practice it in order for it to become strong. And you can do this just by, in your daily life, incorporating some habits to really celebrate yourself as an individual.
Yeah, I love that. And it's something that, you know, any parent can do every day with their own child. And, you know, I do similar things with my girls, you know, on the way to school. We have very busy lives and I'm trying to always kind of, you know, touch bases with them on these things every day. So it's not these major deep conversations we're talking about every day, but little things like, what's one thing that you're going to try today that you know is going to be challenging, but you're going to challenge yourself with? Or, you know, I want you to think about one thing that you're going to do to help someone else today. And you don't need to know it now. You might see it in the classroom. And then we, you know, at the end of the day, talk about our highs and lows. What's one thing that was really awesome for you today that went really well? And what's one thing that didn't, or that was kind of like a bummer moment or wasn't great? Because we need to celebrate those as well. And, you know, all part of this starts to build up that confidence when we see things that don't go right. And I join in on it. My husband joins in on it because I want them to see that even when you're this adult, right, these role models of theirs, and we're going to talk about role models, we have our own challenges and we're dealing with stuff every day that goes really well and that goes not so well. And I think it's really important for girls to see other women do that. Tell me a little bit about the impact of positive community and positive role models for girls and what that means and what that looks like.
Absolutely. And this is, I think, one of the big things that sets Live Girl apart is our focus on providing our girls with a year-round community that surrounds them with positivity, inspiration, and also female role models. And I love, you know, Sally Ride's quote that you can't be what you can't see. And that really is the philosophy of why and how we're incorporating role models into everything we do. So first of all, for our after-school mentoring programs, they're led by professional mentors. And these are all women who are accomplished in their own way, but are able to come in front of our girls and provide them with just a positive sense of what it means to be the powerful essence of being feminine in today's world. And if you ask why that's important, I think right now recording this podcast in March during Women's History Month is an appropriate time to talk about why it's important that we present female role models. One of our high school mentors actually did some research and wrote a blog post on this. And she found that if you're talking about the traditional history books that are used in America's classroom, only 6% of the figures in the history books are female. And even looking at like the public statues in our country, only 7.6% of the statues depict women. So we really need to take it upon ourselves. We as parents and we as the girl empowerment organizations need to take it upon ourselves to shine a light on the many, many women who have accomplished so much making our world what it is. And because our girls need to see these women, they need to know about these women. And again, as Sally Ride said, you can't be what you don't see. And so we're really trying to play a role in that front.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so funny because I think you know the company as well, Persistent Sisters, and the work that they're doing, because I never realized, it's funny because I just look back on my own experience. And I think part of the reasons why I didn't really see myself as a leader early on was because I didn't see myself in any of the history books. I didn't see myself in so many ways. And Persistent Sisters is doing an amazing job helping to educate girls on these amazing women that have done amazing things out there. And their stories just aren't being told. It's not that they don't exist. It's the stories that aren't being told. And I think it's really important for us to find these stories of women to tell our daughters, for them to see, for them to aspire to. And I love that you're doing it on a community level in person every day. Because right now, you know, and what we were going to talk about today is a little bit is the impact of social media on self-esteem in girls. And a lot of it comes from role models, because what our girls are seeing, you know, is what's presented out in society. And that's, you know, there's so much, that's such a deep conversation on how that's chosen, how that's being promoted by what media chooses to present to us, and the reasons why behind it. A lot of it has to do because of money, or, you know, sponsorships, or, you know, hypersexualization of women. And we need to think to ourselves, is that what we want them to see? Do we want them to be following, you know, the Kardashians or the actresses that are out there? And some are amazing and doing amazing work, but who are those women that we want our girls to follow? So how do you address, you know, the impact of social media on your girls? How do you have the conversations with them about finding good role models and understanding that there are other women out there as well to idolize that may not be those big names that you hear of every day?
Absolutely. This is such an important topic for us as a girls organization. And I get that the digital age is tough for everyone, but if I were to write a book, it would be Boys Are From Xbox and Girls Are From Instagram and Snapchat. And there's just different issues associated with that. And Live Girl has certainly shown me how vulnerable our adolescent girls are as they face into adolescent pressures that are magnified on social media. And so actually last fall, we launched an initiative that we call A Million Likes, and we produced a public service announcement and some companion materials with the core message being that a million likes will never be enough if you don't like yourself. And we produced this video really by our girls, for our girls, and they were sending a message to girls everywhere that you forget about the likes. And really, again, coming back to that idea of self-love, because if you have a strong sense of self and a strong self-esteem, you're going to be able to see some of those things on social media and put them aside and realize, you know what, that person just posted that mean thing. And it's not about me. It's more about her and some stuff that's going on with her. So, and also we do focus with our girls on not unrealistically telling them to, you know, put away their phones. We don't tell parents that, you know, you can't get your daughter a phone because that's not realistic, but we teach them how to cultivate a positive experience on social media. And to your point, we point out, fill your feed with positive role models, whether that's Cleo Wade or Rupi Kaur or Yara Shahidi or Amy Poehler's Smart Girls or Persistent Sisters or Strong Magazine for Girls. There's a number of positive sources of content out there, and to really make sure you're cultivating a positive experience for yourself.
Right. Because, you know, social media, as much as we talk about it being a horrible thing, it actually, if you know how to utilize it properly, can actually become very empowering, especially for girls when we're trying to find those avenues for them of, you know, an Instagram feed filled with amazing women. I connected recently with a woman who is a principal ballet dancer in England, but she's also a physicist. And talk about sharing, you know, having two incredibly different passions. But how amazing is it for a girl who wants to dance and loves dance, but also right. You know, might like science, and thinking she has to choose between that. And there's this amazing role model out there that's doing both. And she's, you know, dancing at night, and she's doing incredible work as a physicist during the day. And those are the stories we want them to see. We want them to see the behind the scenes of their life and, you know, what that looks like and the hard work. You know, I did a lot of work with dancers for years, and this concept that we have in our head of what a dancer or a ballerina looks like is not the reality. And the reality are major injuries and blood, sweat, tears, and girls that are amazing athletes. But we don't see that unless we choose to look for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to add on that, I look forward every day to seeing the positive quotes that your organization posts. And so again, and we're trying to do the same thing. It's not only posting, you know, positivity and inspiration, but we're trying to give a platform to our girls. We have girls who contribute poems and blog posts, whatever their talents are. We're providing that platform for them to share their voice with the world. And that's also a big part of what we're trying to do, is really to encourage these girls to find their voice and express their voice and make a positive impact on the world.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, something that's a really interesting concept, and I haven't gotten this into this point yet with my own daughters, because my oldest is only just 9. And while she has access to, you know, some electronics, she's not out there. But I had a colleague talk to me about, you know, when you start talking to your girls about what they're posting themselves on social media, you know, it's really interesting because the behavior of others or who we surround ourselves with will impact our behavior on what we post. And a fun little exercise that parents can try with their girls is, you know, to sit down with your girl and girls and talk to them about, you know, if you were to ask your best friend to describe you in 3 or 4 words, what would they be? And write them down. And the same for, like, you know, a teacher, what would they be? And then as a parent, you could give them 3 words. And I've actually done this with my oldest, just as an exercise. And we write these words down. And then you can have them pull up one of their social media accounts. And whether it's Instagram, Snapchat, whatever, and have them look through the pictures and what they're posting. And ask them if the messaging, the images, or whatever it is they're posting, if that correlates with the words that we would use to describe you. And if it doesn't, a lot of times it's a big eye opener to them on, you know, that's the only way we have on social media. What we're posting is the only way we have of expressing who we are or what we believe. And so they don't get that. They think they're just posting something because it's funny, or, you know, they like a picture. But we need to get them to start really thinking critically about the messaging that they themselves are putting out there, because it'll follow them, because it's permanent. And is that the message that they want to portray to others?
Right. That's a great exercise. It's an important exercise, because we do see that a large percentage of girls are almost curating a different identity online versus offline. And what that creates is just a sense of self-conflict, of who am I, of two identities that are then in competition. And so I think that's the way you outline that is a great way to think about it. And we encourage our girls to do similar exercises where they're really thinking about who they are and what their brand is. So girls will understand kind of the brand of like a Coca-Cola soda or a certain brand of jeans. And we encourage them to think about what is their brand of how they want to be projecting themselves to others, and to really stay true to themselves in that process.
Yeah, I love that. And I love thinking of it as, you know, your own brand, because the reality is that's what it is when you're putting stuff out there in that manner. I'd like to talk a little bit more about role models, because obviously your organization right now is based in Connecticut. But I know you're doing some amazing stuff to expand out. But for those parents that don't have access to your organization and the work that you're doing, how do we go about finding good role models for our girls? And what does that look like? What should a parent look for when they're trying to find a role model to surround their girls with?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so what we do, and I think what any parent can do no matter where they are, is during these teen years when kids should be really exploring all different avenues of interests and opportunities out in the world, is really they should be targeting to expose their daughter to as many different role models, women, careers as possible. So we host monthly leadership summits, and every month we bring in a panel of women or different women representing different careers. We put a special focus on bringing in women in STEM careers and also non-traditional careers. And it's very impactful. And just to give you a specific example, just so the parents listening to this can understand the power of a role model, is recently we had Caroline Simmons, who is a Connecticut congresswoman, come in as one of our featured role model speakers. And at the beginning, before she started talking, we asked the group of about 100 girls, how many of you might consider running for office someday, or how many of you might be interested in being in government someday. And probably 3 out of 100 hands were raised. And then Caroline proceeded to talk, and she's a rock star and high energy, and talked about her background. She played lacrosse at Harvard. She worked in the Middle East. She worked on Obama's transition team. She worked for Homeland Security before then becoming the youngest congresswoman in Connecticut history. And at the end, after, you know, Q&A, because the girls, we had to cut off the Q&A because the girls were so excited to learn more from her, we asked the question of you, how many of you now might consider running for office? And nearly every hand in that room was raised. I mean, almost 100 girls, I think it was 97 or 98 girls, raised their hand emphatically that yes, that's something they would consider. So right then and there, you could see the door opening of possibility and opportunity for these girls. And just even that they could see themselves in that career path is going to give them more options going forward. So that's the power of a role model. And that's what we do with our girls over and over and over. And again, just it's very diverse, very different. Last month, we had a panel of female founders, women who had started up their own businesses and have now grown them into successful businesses. And we, in combination with that, we ran a girl boss competition where the girls could submit their own entrepreneurial ideas. So it's just getting the girls involved in dreaming outside of their box and thinking about the different opportunities out there.
Yeah, I love that. And for so many reasons, because, you know, their childhood goes by so quickly. And, you know, before we know it, our girls are going to be at the place where they need to decide where they want to go to college and what they want to be for at least the start of their life. Because I don't believe it's for the rest of your life. We always grow and evolve. And that's a really hard decision to make when you don't know what's out there. And just like you said with the congresswoman, I actually had almost a similar experience only about 2 years ago. I was at an event, a women's organization event in Connecticut. And I never really knew what it took to get involved in politics. I, in the thought back of my mind, thought you had to, I don't know, go to school to be a history major or poli sci major. And you had to have all of these criteria, right, to be involved in politics. And that's not the reality. You need to have a voice. You need to know who you are, and you need to be passionate. That's it. And want to help others. And you know, I don't think I would have gotten involved in politics, but had I known that, just the potential of opportunities of doors that could have opened, you know, to me or to others or girls to understand, you know, we think in medicine, you know, I want to go into medicine. And that was me. I was pre-med in college and I thought I wanted to be pre-med and I started, you know, studying and then I did an internship and I realized that's not the path I wanted to take. And so then I went and I looked into nursing because you think, well, if not a doctor, then a nurse. And then I started down that path. And then I had the opportunity to learn about this other path, which was in emergency medicine, critical care services. And I was like, holy moly, this is what I want. But it took so many little avenues of education, of just learning what's different to open up. And I think it's, you know, not just finding role models, but exposing girls to all of these different ideas and professions and how people are, you know, working out there in different fields that are not the traditional ones that we see is really empowering for them to, you know, find their passions, find what they're good at, or figure out what they might want to start out their lives doing.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything you just said. And in fact, I think that is how life is supposed to go. I think we're supposed to be out there taking risks and, you know, sometimes failing and picking ourselves up and trying something else. I mean, I think that is the way it goes for just about every human being on this planet. And I think, you know, the way things are being portrayed in these popular culture and the social media is that everything is perfect. And so our girls are striving for perfection and they're therefore less willing to take risks. And that is, I think, one of the saddest things that's going on in our girl culture right now. And that needs to change because we as humans need to show that we all have flaws. And that we're all learning and that you know, as long as you can ask a good question and you're willing to work hard and apply your passion, you can succeed.
For more information on Sherry West and Live Girl, you can find them at www.golivegirl.com. To hear the rest of this interview as we continue the enlightening conversation, please join our community at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
You are a leader and a role model to developing girls. Whether you're raising a daughter or you work with girls on a daily basis, you see the incredible potential they have to make a difference in this world. You know the change we need is going to come from them, and you want to make sure they grow up to be independent leaders with a strong sense of personal identity, because these are the traits that make a powerful girl. So come join our community and education platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com and become a part of our movement to educate, inspire, and cultivate a generation of powerful girls with eye-opening discussions and facts, exercises, and tangible calls to action. We can't wait to see you there.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million-dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Come on, take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details. Thanks for joining us. This is the EWN Podcast Network.